After hearing that good and wonderful message, I'm sure each one of us here this morning feel like whatever effort we made to be here has been well worth it. Very blessed message that Brother Charles has preached to us, well-balanced message this morning. Hope you continue to pray for me. I'd like to take a look at a word that's found in the book of Daniel 4 and 35. This is a familiar verse from the standpoint that's often quoted for various reasons. But we find here where it says that all the inhabitants of earth are imputed as nothing. But God doeth according to his will among the inhabitants of the earth and all the army of heaven, and none can stay his hand or send him, what doest thou? The word according here means to be in agreement with, it means to be in harmony with. That word is a very powerful word, I believe, in the Word of God. Whether we're talking about things eternal or whether we're talking about things in time as it relates to us and our relationship with the Lord. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." All spiritual blessings are in Christ, and that's in harmony with, in agreement with, the fact that we, the Lord's people, have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We've been predestinated unto the adoption of children, and that's in harmony with, that's in agreement with, the good pleasure of the will of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then he says, praise to the glory of his grace, when made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. That's the third time that word according been used there in the first seven verses, the first chapter of Ephesians. So all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ are according to the fact that he chose his people in Christ. And we've been predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according, that is, in agreement with, in harmony with,
yes,
the good pleasure of Christ. That's harmony. That's in agreement, you see. And then we have our redemption again through his blood, according to the riches of his grace. Our redemption is in harmony with, in agreement with, the riches of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to verse 11. Paul says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The Lord's people have an eternal inheritance that Peter says is incorruptible, is undefiled, and fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. And that's according to the counsel of his will. It's in harmony with his counsel. It's in harmony with, in agreement with his will. I like things to be in harmony. I like to be in agreement with people. We certainly can't be in agreement with everybody, but where we can, you know, the Bible says, as much as possible, live peace with all men. Well, that tells me it's not possible,
right,
to live peace with all men, but as much as possible, we should live peaceably with all men. I just don't think it's possible we're going to get along with North Korea. It just don't look like it's possible, but I want President Trump to do all that's possible to get along with him so we can have peace and not additional wars and things of that nature. That word according, again, means to be in harmony with. It means to be in agreement with. Romans 8:28, Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
Now, that calling is according to the purpose of God. It's not according to man, it's according to the purpose of God.
Amen.
And those that are called according to the purpose of God love him. That's why they love him. They're being called.
Amen.
And we sang one of those hymns this morning by Elder David Bridgman. It says, he hath taught my heart to love him. That's why anybody loves the Lord, their heart has been taught of God.
Amen.
To love him.
Right.
They've not been taught of the gospel to love him in the heart, at least not prior to the fact that the Lord must teach their heart to love him. Somebody whose heart hadn't been changed, you can talk about the love of God all you want to. You can instruct them and teach them. You can lay it out systematically. You can speak and preach and power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But if they don't have the Spirit of God within their souls, it's not going to be anything. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So God teaches our hearts to love him. Notice again, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. To those who do not love the Lord, that text just simply doesn't apply. It applies to those that love the Lord. And who are those that love the Lord? Those who've been called. And their call is what? It's in harmony with, it's in agreement with the purpose of God. God calls His people on purpose. He doesn't call them haphazardly. He didn't call them accidentally. He doesn't call them just, you know, one way one day and another way another day. God calls His people effectually, and He calls them on purpose. Romans 9:11 says, "For the children having not yet been born, having done neither good nor evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth." Again, that word according there, it means in agreement with, in harmony with. The children having not yet been born. This took place before they were ever existed. Children having not yet been born, having done neither good nor evil. Looks like that would be plain enough for most people to see. Having done neither good nor evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. See, works will not be in harmony with election.
Amen.
Works are not in harmony with that. You know, some people that at least admit the election is taught in the Bible, they're misled in thinking that, well, this is the way, you know, it works. And God, having an all-seeing eye and seeing all things, was able to look down through time, and He would see everybody that would believe, see everybody that would have faith, see everybody that would repent, see everybody that would be baptized, see everybody that would persevere, etc., etc., etc. And therefore, He made choice of those people. If that was the case, we'd still be based upon works, would it not? Be based upon works. Here, Paul makes it very clear, it's not based upon works. 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." Now notice, saved, E-D right here. This salvation of consideration is a completed act.
Right.
Now I read, before this was written, you know, before Christ was crucified on the cross, that the angel tells Joseph, "Fear not to take unto Mary to be thy wife, for that was conceived of her of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." But we come on this side of the cross, and Paul says, it's a done deal now. He says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." Now look at that word "according" here. It is not in harmony with our works. I don't care what the works are. I don't care how many works there are, how long you've worked at it. It's not according to our works. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according," here's the word "according" used twice, "but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world." See, that's in harmony with, in agreement with. But our works are not in harmony or in agreement with this salvation, son, consideration here. It just doesn't work that way. Work that way. Anyway, what does the word "work" mean anyhow? A lot of people don't have a clear definition of the word "work." Well, if you just look it up, it simply means an exertion of energy or strength, physically or mentally. Physically or mentally. Whether it's outward or whether it's inward. A person, when they exert strength or whatever, then that's a work. See, that's a work. Titus 3:5. "Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
This washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost is in harmony with God's mercy, but it's not in harmony with our works.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. It's not in harmony, not in agreement with our works. We use that word, a word "work," in a lot of different ways. You know, sometimes a little boy may punch his mother and he might say, "I wonder if the preacher's watch is working." You know, or you may see a clock up there and you might say, "You know, you better check the battery, for the clock is not working." That means there's no movement. There's no action taking place. Everything is stopped, you see. I've heard people talk about making wine. You know, when you put the grapes and sugar and everything together and what are all the things you have to do, no matter how you make it. They say, "Now we're just going to let it work. We're just going to let it work," right? You know, when we celebrate, we shoot off fireworks. Somebody said, "I'm going to shoot the works." We use that word in a lot of different ways, but every way that you use it, it's showing there's activity involved there.
Yes. Yes.
Activity involved. But our salvation is not in harmony with our works. It's not in agreement with our works. Our calling is in agreement with God's purpose.
Amen.
Our being predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ is in harmony with the good pleasure of His will. Him making choice of us is not in harmony with our works, but is in harmony with His purpose and His counsel and His will. So our inheritance, our redemption, our being elected, our being predestinated, our calling, whatever it might be concerning these matters here, they're all in harmony and all in agreement with God's purpose, God's will, and God's good pleasure, but they're not in agreement with our works. Now turning to the more practical side of this, in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, we find where Joshua now has been ordained of God to take the place of Moses. In my Bible, the Joshua 1 starts off, it says, and Moses died, or Moses is dead. But I wrote years ago right there, but God is alive.
Amen.
You know, some people, even old Baptists sometimes, somebody dies, it's just like God died. I mean, it's amazing. You know, but God isn't dead. The man may be dead. All men are going to die. You know. And somehow or another, we've made it up to today with the current people we have. But God is alive. Always has been, always will be. Of course, He is eternal. Okay? So it was God's purpose and choice of Joshua to replace Moses. And here's what God told Joshua in Joshua 1, 7 and 8. He says, do according to all the law that Moses has written. In other words, what you do must be in harmony with, must be in agreement with everything that Moses had written.
Right.
He says, meditate therein, do not turn to the left, do not turn to the right. He said, but do according to that which was written in the law of Moses. Here's his charge by God. Now God had just got through telling him also, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you.
Yes.
And Joshua knew how God had been with Moses. He spent time with Moses down in the land of Egypt. He spent time with Moses in the wilderness. Now Moses will not go into Canaan's land, but Joshua will. Joshua spent time in Egypt, he spent time in the wilderness, he spent time in the land of Canaan. But he saw how God was with Moses. He was by Moses' side, he was Moses' companion in many of their experiences. They had to be greatly encouraging to Joshua that God was going to be with him as he had been with Moses, because he knew he had never let Moses down. He had never abandoned Moses, never forsaken Moses. He'd always been with Moses, and God says, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you, Joshua. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. He says, you be strong, and you be of much courage. That's repeated about four times in the first chapter of Joshua. God tells him to be strong and good courage, so I suppose there was going to be a need of strength. And I suppose there's going to be a need of courage. And I need courage today, and I need strength today, and you need courage, and you need strength to face the challenges and the trials of this world in which we're living right here, and I believe God will supply it. In fact, Philippians 4:19 says so. Paul says, for God shall supply all your need according to the riches of His grace. God's not running short. There's never been a shortage of God's grace, mercy, and love, or His power, my friend. It's just as much existence today as it always has been. So Paul says, God shall supply all your need. How much of your need will He supply? All, A-L-L, all your need.
That's right.
According to the riches of His grace. In harmony with His grace, in agreement with His grace, God will supply all your need. Now, He tells Joshua, don't go to the left, don't go to the right. And everything you do, it must be according, in harmony with, and in agreement with My word. If you want to prosper, if you want to be blessed, then you got to do it My way, according to My word. No deviation, no exceptions, My word. When God told Noah to build an ark, He gave him all the instructions. He gave him the blueprint. He gave him the dimensions. He gave him the entire, everything he needed to build that ark. Noah did not go to town one day and tell his wife, the Lord told me to build this out of gopher wood, but they's running a mighty fine sale on oak wood. So I decided to make a substitution. I decided to make an exception. Instead of building this ark out of gopher wood, I'm going to build it out of oak. He didn't do that, did he?
No.
He didn't do that. Look at the last verse in Genesis chapter 6. It says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's the last verse of Genesis 6. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. That word all there, it means all. Somebody asked me not too long ago, said, Brother Lawrence says, now, I got a text, the word all in it. And I want you to tell me, does that mean all without exception? Does that mean all for this or all for that? Well, this all right here, it means all without exception.
Amen.
Noah made no exceptions
right.
in building that ark. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's why it floated.
Amen.
Would it have floated if it made it out of wood? I mean, out of oak? I don't believe it would have. Maybe God in His mercy would have overruled. Certainly could have. He oftentimes does. I'm glad He's overruled in His mercy in my life a few times
Amen.
Down the journey of life. How about you?
Amen.
But it was important for Noah to follow the instructions to the T.
Right.
That's one of the reasons that the Lord's church has never been large in comparison to the denominational world, because there's many of God's people who are not willing to do it according to God's word, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. They're not willing to do it.
Right.
Oh, they tote the Bible in their hands. And they put it in the pulpit, and they actually read from it. And actually speak from it. But a lot of people, I mean, we can be guilty of this as well, are not willing to do all according to what God's Word says. They pick and choose like this is a buffet or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take that, I'll take that. No, I don't care for that. It might be good for me, but I don't care for it. To God's people reading the Word of God, no, I know it'd be good for me, but you know, I just don't believe I want that. Now we take a look at Moses building that tabernacle. The instruction of that begins in Exodus chapter 25. It ends at the end of that book, chapter 40. And so God gives far more details, by the way, in building the tabernacle than He does, say, creation. He gives us a chapter in Genesis chapter 1 about creation, and then it's, to me it's like He's saying, okay, now I just explained to you where you came from. That's all you need to know. Let's move on.
Right.
But we come here to Exodus chapter 25, and you're going to find where He's going to go from chapter 25 through chapter 40. 14 chapters or so here. 16, what is it? 16 chapters. Where He's going to find detail about this tabernacle. And four different times, we'll take a look at the last one. In Exodus chapter 40, I think it's about verse 16, it says, and these words are identical with exception the word Moses to the word Noah. So it says, thus did Noah, it says, thus did Moses. Thus did Moses, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And just like God gave Noah the blueprint for the ark, He gave Moses the blueprint for the tabernacle.
Right.
He gave him all the instructions that he needed. What kind of materials, how many, you know, the quantity, the quality, etc., etc. All the things he stood in need of, God gave it to Moses. And thus did Moses, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So therefore, when that tabernacle was erected, it was in harmony, it was in agreement with God's word.
Amen. Right.
When that ark was built, constructed, it was finished, it was in agreement, it was in harmony with God's word. The ark floated, and the tabernacle lasted just as long as God purposed it to last, about 40 years in their journey in the wilderness. About the same length of time, you know, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. He tabernacled in this world. You know, it was a temporary thing. The Lord didn't intend for Israel to use the tabernacle, you know, on a permanent basis. It was a tent. It would be, you know, taken down and put up, moved, taken down, put up, moved, etc., etc. I'll come over to 1 Kings chapter 17, a man by the name of Elijah. And Elijah just comes on the scene. You know, some characters in the Bible, we read them from the time they're born. You know, but others, we pick up their life at a certain stage. So we pick up Elijah's life at a certain stage. He's the man of God. He comes before a wicked king by the name of Ahab. And he tells Ahab, he says, as the Lord thy God liveth, there shall neither be rain nor dew these years, according to my word. Well, I read in the book of James where that was a 3.5 year period of time, 42 months. According to my word, there shall not be. God says there will be no dew, there'll be no rain. According to my word, I said it will not be, and it wasn't.
That's right. Amen.
All right, he then tells Elijah. He says, you go down to a certain brook. Coming back to verse 5. You go down to a certain brook, for there I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. And the Bible says, thus did Elijah according to the word of God. In other words, Elijah obeyed just like God said. God said, you go to a certain place, Elijah went to a certain place. He said, I'll command the ravens to feed you. They brought him bread and flesh in the morning, brought him bread and flesh in the evening. But it came a time when that brook dried up. The Lord's going to send him somewhere else. He's going to send him to a place where there's a widow woman. gets there to where the widow woman is, we find that all she had left was just enough to make one last meal for her and her son. And Elijah tells her to go ahead and do that. He said, but first of all, make me a little cake first. He said, there will always be meal in the barrel, there'll always be oil in the cruse, and to the rains again, according to the word of God. So the Bible says, thus did the woman, according as Elijah said, and says, for she and he and the son had something to eat from that day forward until it rained again, for she did according to the word of God. She didn't deviate
right.
from that.
Yeah. Right.
Can you put yourself in her shoes just for a moment?
Yeah.
Yeah, all you got left is enough to make one meal for you and your son, and here comes this man you've never met before in your life. He tells her, go ahead and make him something first, and she did, because God commanded the widow woman to take care of him, just like he commanded the ravens to feed Elijah by the brook. He commanded the widow woman. When he got there, the Bible says, and the widow woman came along. What widow woman? The widow woman God commanded to come by. That's the widow woman.
Right.
And she did exactly what the man of God said, according to what the man of God said. You know, Ahab wanted a vineyard that belonged to a man named Naboth.
Right.
And his wife Jezebel told him how to do it. He winds up getting that vineyard. God's very displeased with him. Naboth is slain to get that vineyard. The Lord sends Elijah down there, and Elijah tells him, it says, the very place where they lick the blood of Naboth, they shall lick the blood of you, Ahab, according to God's word. Did it happen? That's in chapter 21. Go to chapter 22. You'll find where Ahab is slain in battle. He's injured and then he dies. And they bring him there and they walk and take in his chariot. They wash the blood out of his chariot. And the dogs come and lick up the blood that was washed out of the chariot of Ahab, because it was in harmony with what God's word said. It was in agreement with God's word.
Right.
See, we live in a day and age where a lot of people just disrespect the word of God. They ignore the word of God, or they read the word of God and they don't take it seriously. I believe God's word was written for us to take it seriously.
Amen.
I believe the word of God means what it says. It says what it means, and we're to take it seriously. Noah took it seriously. We find where Moses took it seriously. Elijah took it seriously. The widow woman took it seriously. Again, Joshua took it seriously. They all took it very seriously. Over here in the book of Luke in chapter 1, we find where the angel comes to Mary and tells her that which conceived of her is going to be of the Holy Ghost. She said unto her, she says, the power of the high shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that is in thee shall be called the Son of God. There's the power of the highest and the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon her. And it was a holy thing that was conceived in her. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And said, even thy cousin Elizabeth, it says, who's in her 6th month, who was called barren. Elizabeth was called barren because she never had a child, so she's already wearing that label, the label of being barren. No Jewish woman wanted that label.
Right.
No Jewish woman wanted the label of barren attached to her name. But she was already called that because she didn't reach an age where nobody thought she would ever conceive and have a child. But the angel said, by the way, your cousin, Elizabeth, is called barren. She's with child. His name was John the Baptist. And then the angel tells Mary, says unto Mary, says, with God all things are possible. If God enabled Elizabeth, who was barren, to conceive and bring a child into this world, He's able also to bless you as a virgin to experience conception with no man involved.
Amen.
Right. Because all things are possible. That reminds me of one illustration back in Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appears unto Abraham. And he says, where is Sarah? And he says, in the tent. He said, I will return unto you according to the time of life. And your wife Sarah shall have a son. Upon hearing this behind the tent door, Sarah laughs about it.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, why did she laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh. You might as well just confess, brother. You're never going to pull the wool over God's eyes. That's just all there is to it. You're never going to fool the Lord. The Lord cannot be fooled. Okay? I can be fooled, you can be fooled, but God cannot be fooled. He sees everything and knows everything.
Right.
Then look in verse 14. He repeats it again. He said, I will return according to the time of life, and Sarah shall bring forth a son.
Amen.
You go to Genesis 21, verse 1. It says, and Sarah The Lord appeared unto Sarah as he said he would, and did as he said he would, as he purposed he would do. And she conceived and she brought forth that son. But I want to close out this morning, going back to the book of Luke chapter 2. There's a man over in the book of Luke chapter 2, the name of Simeon, who had just an extraordinary, outstanding, beautiful, glorious experience. We find, apparently, it seems like to me anyway, he's an aged person. Been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit, he would not die till he had seen the Lord's Christ. Amen. So he goes to the temple one day. And you know, every day we have a little something planned. Maybe we kind of do some of the same things every day. We never know when we start off what looks like going to be an ordinary day. It turns out to be an extraordinary day.
Amen.
I'm sure he went to the temple as he had time after time after time, not expecting anything more or less than what he experienced in times past. So he goes into the temple. The Holy Spirit had revealed unto him he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So perhaps he was anticipating maybe this is the day. If not today, then maybe tomorrow. Maybe this will be the day. You never know. So he goes to the temple that day. And in walks Mary with a little baby in her arms. And she has that little baby unto Simeon. That little baby is not an ordinary baby. That little baby is the creator of the universe. That little baby is the savior of sinners. That little baby is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he's going to get to hold that baby. God's going to bless him far exceed anything he anticipated or expected. He'd been told he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. But he's not just going to see the Lord's Christ. He's going to hold the Lord's Christ. He's going to embrace the Lord's Christ. He's going to touch the Lord's Christ. Here the created is holding the creator. The creature is holding his creator. The sinner is holding his Savior in his arms right there. And then after that wonderful and glorious experience, we find where Simeon says, "Now let thy servant depart in peace. For thine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word."
Amen.
Just in harmony with your word, in agreement with your word, just like your word said, "I didn't die till I had seen the Lord's Christ. Now let thy servant depart in peace." I don't believe that departure was from the temple.
Right.
I believe he's talking about a more glorious departure than that. Yeah, Lord willing, a little bit later this afternoon, I got to depart. But I'm looking for the departure one of these days will far exceed this one.
Amen.
I'm looking for a departure that far exceeds any departure I've ever experienced on an airplane leaving the airport. I'm looking forward to the day when I depart. Never to experience another departure. It'll take me into the glory world to be with the Lord. And I'll be with Him eternally and forevermore. That word "according" is far more important than I just thought not too long ago. It means in agreement with, in harmony with. And whether it's talking about eternal things, or whether we're talking about temporal things, or timely things.
Amen.
Amen.